Welcome to the Self-Publishing School Podcast. This is the podcast to listen to if you're an aspiring writer or an author who wants to be more successful. On this show, you'll learn how to write and launch a book successfully, all from the top authors and people just like you who are doing it at the highest level. I'm your host, Chandler Volt, the founder of Self-Publishing School, the author of the book called Published, and the CEO of selfpublishing.com. For free training on how to publish a book that sells 10,000 copies, go to selfpublishing.com/free training. Hey, Chandler Bolt here, and joining me today is Brett Hilker. Brett is the author of a book called Founder Fundamentals. He's an entrepreneur and a coach at Self Publishing School. Brett is amazing. He's been one of our longtime team members at SPS. I think joined back in beginning of 2018. So. Brett has really been instrumental in just a lot of what we've built and are building at Self Publishing School. We ran some numbers. So Brett started in a sales role at SPS and now is one of our coaches at SPS and has completed 4,500 calls in a sales role, over 2,200 calls in a coaching role. So coaching calls. So I think a very interesting perspective and what we'll be diving into some in this interview is, okay, getting the unique experience of talking to people at the beginning of their journey, when they're thinking about taking the leap, and then throughout their journey, coaching them through that process. He also coaches a lot of our highest level students in our Author Advantage Accelerator program. So just a wealth of knowledge and experience that I'm excited for him to be able to share here today. So Brett, welcome.
Hey, hey, thanks for having me. Excited to chat.
Yeah. So I want to talk about your book first and your experience and lessons learned there. And then kind of zoom into macro takeaways from how, you know, just all these calls that you've had with aspiring students and existing students. So first off, why did you decide to write your book personally?
I think it was something I always wanted to do. It was just like, I thought I was going to be like 60 when I was going to do it. Like, it wasn't part of the plan. And then obviously in self-publishing school, the possibility of something like writing a book raises so quickly in such an exciting way that it was very easy for me to see the finish line being a part of SPS and a part of our community and just seeing other people do it. And I thought, okay, well, I definitely have things to say. Now I know how to say them. So let's just do it. So yeah, it just made it a lot easier once I had that clarity and that confidence to see, this is a possibility.
Yeah. What and similar kind of vein of question, why do books matter to you? I mean, you're passionate about what you do. You've talked to so many people. That could easily just be monotonous or boring having similar conversations over a long period of time. But just knowing you, I know that you're excited about it. And it's, you really look for like the magic and the uniqueness in people's stories and books. And so why is this something that matters to you and that you're passionate about?
To me, books represent the accumulation of human knowledge in that way. And so it's anything that anyone's ever thought of that's had the genius and the amazing ideas and also the tenacity to put it down into the written word like that. To me, a book, that symbol represents a lot. And just being able to be mentored by people that died thousands of years ago is fascinating to me, so that I don't have to reinvent wheels ever. It's just more of like, I'm only limited by the questions I need answered at that point, not where the answers are, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I love that. We think we talk about all the time is, you know, it's people are always looking for a mentor or trying to figure out how to find a mentor, and the smartest, most successful people have written and published a book and on the best things that they know, and they've crystallized what they know into a book. And for $15 in a handful of hours, you can learn all the best things they know. I mean, it truly is a $15 mentor that can last well beyond our time on this earth, which I think is pretty special. And speaking of, I mean, people who have died thousands of years ago or even hundreds of years ago, when I go on and look at your author page, customers also bought Napoleon Hill. So talk about some timeless wisdom. Let's talk about your book, Founder Fundamentals. What were kind of the biggest lessons learned from writing and publishing that book?
Biggest lessons, I'd say, with going through that process for me the writing, I bumped up against the writing and procrastination quite a bit. For me, it was just something that I hadn't done a lot of just like, okay, this is, you know, you do a lot of writing, just journaling or, you know, just little bits and pieces here and there, but this is like a marathon and not a sprint. So the first time I encountered that, I just felt myself rappelling away from the process. I'm like, oh, why does this feel so weird? And I think it was because I wasn't, I think my definition of success was too high for what I could accomplish in half an hour of writing in that way. Like I just set the bar too high for myself. And the side effect of that was like, I always felt like a failure anytime that I tried to write the book. And so I found that as soon as I recognized that and just lowered my expectation of what success meant like in the moment, I just made so much more progress, so much more quickly, to the point where like I just used dictation on Google Documents. And in the span of a day, I spoke like 20,000 words in that day. And then I finally had a jumping off point that I could polish and shift and move things around rather than this kind of dreaded blank page that we all talk about all the time. And so for me, it was that realization like, wow, my perfectionism is kicking in here. My expectations are too high. I need to just check that and then have a better like approachability to the writing and the process. And then once that was a thing, then it was just figuring out, okay, what was the path of least resistance that was a strength for me to actually get words down on the paper? And so that realization, once I made it, was huge to actually get it done.
And how does that realization affect the way that you coach your students? And how do you coach them to kind of, I mean, some of that's unavoidable, but to kind of navigate that as best as possible?
Yeah, there's often... So with the people that I am very fortunate to work with often are go-getters and just like they've achieved a lot in their lives and the book is the next thing for them. And so as a side effect of that, I think that, I think a lot of us approach the book writing process with a lot of uninformed optimism about exactly, okay, it's going to go like this. And then once you get actually into the trenches, you realize, wow, this is a lot more nuanced and a lot more complicated. And okay, so it's just kind of creating a little bit of a relationship with the process that way. So oftentimes when I'm working with people, it's just like recognizing, hey, what if you're bumping up against yourself, like what are some of the ways in the moment that you are struggling? Is it because of your mindset? Is it because you don't know like what to focus on? So sometimes it's just lack of outline clarity. Sometimes it's lack of like, you know, just a sense of what they're focusing on, you know, with their, you know, with their avatar. It could be something as simple as even, just them just defining success of what they can accomplish in 20 minutes to be too high. And so I think that a lot of times it's just the go-getters expect a lot out of themselves. And then that ends up kind of stalling them out in the process of writing.
Got it. So kind of the curse of the go-getter.
Yeah.
is having high expectations. And then if you miss those expectations, then getting discouraged, going kind of, as Jim Collins would call it, the flywheel and the doom loop, right? And going into this doom loop and then thinking it's the creative process. I talk about that in Publish, right? Oh my gosh, what are the odds? Flipped directly to it. Page 71, kind of the creative process. Yeah. I know people probably can't see this very well, but this is going to be awesome. This is hard. This is terrible. I'm terrible. Hey, not bad. That was awesome. Kind of this process that we follow. And I think you're talking about that. I mean, I talk chapter 8, the crisis of meaning, right? It's when this, usually that's when you read the first draft of your book, but it also can happen before then as you're going through the rough draft phase. So you talked about, Brett, there's the mindset piece, and then sometimes there's organizational things like, do they have a good outline and a thorough outline? Have they clearly identified their person, pain, and promise that they're writing to, like that sort of thing? Which one is it most often that you see students getting tripped up on? And so let's say, you know, they've had a coaching call with you that maybe they've had multiple and they've got their rough draft deadline looming and they're not making as much progress as they want. Is there one or the other that you could point to that happens more frequently?
It's a good question. I would say There's a couple of factors I would say with that. One is how much writing someone's done in the past. How strong is your writing muscle? Because if your writing muscle is relatively strong, a lot of the hangups end up becoming mindset. And that way, I'm not good enough, or I don't know if this is, the direction I want to go. And so it's this kind of refinement of the actual topic type of work and getting people out of their own way. And then if the writing muscle is not very strong and it's something that this is kind of a new venture, writing just in general isn't something that, people have done a lot of, then it's often the mechanics. And it's like, okay, first we got to do, the mind mapping, make sure that that tank has been fully drained, get all the puzzle pieces on the table before we decide to start shifting things around and making the picture. So that's usually, I find, the determination is like, how strong is the writing muscle? And then frankly, how quickly someone is okay with just pivoting the tactics to write. It's like, okay, well, did you try this? Did you try that? And instead of getting married to one specific way that I'm going to write the book, just because we just romanticize this process as writers and authors, that often leads to just sticking to one thing because that's what we think the process should be. When in all actuality, it's just like, did you get it done? That's really the only measure of success as a published author. It's just, how nimble people are and ultimately how strong of a writing muscle that they have usually depends on if it's mindset or skill set that way.
Yep. So writing abilities, past writing abilities, there's, you said flexibility, and then maybe a third being just coachability. And how coachable are you in the process to try new things? Brett, I want to zoom in back on your personal publishing experience and then dive into kind of big picture lessons learned. What, if we're talking launch specifically, what was the hardest part for you personally and kind of biggest lesson learned out of that that affects how you coach your students?
I'd say my recommendation for people is don't launch a book when launch a book when you've got the headspace and the time for it. I launched my book 2 weeks before a global pandemic, so nailed that timing. And then also I was in the middle of a breakup with a long-term woman I thought I was gonna be with for the rest of my life. So it was like, don't launch a book when there are other things fracturing your attention, because ultimately launching a book is kind of, it's like 2 to 3 hours a day for 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks type thing. And if you nail it, if you do it really well, everything else is easier for the books, like the life cycle of the book. If you punch through the clouds and you can get 50, 100 plus reviews in the first, 30, 40 days, if you can really just, extreme single task on this is my focus, this is my thing, and just nail it, work the process. Obviously, you don't have to reinvent any wheels when it comes down to this kind of stuff around here. Yeah. It's really just dedicating the time and being very focused on. And what I tell a lot of my students is just reviews. It's just the social proof and the social credibility. If no one knows you from a hole in the wall because you're a new author. And so if you can get that, 50, 100 reviews as soon as possible, then landing podcast episodes, running paid traffic campaigns like Amazon ads, just everything will spiral up then quicker because the book can carry its own weight faster. That's ultimately the lessons learned from myself, but also just how that translates into just launches for a lot of students.
Yeah, that's great. A question for you in this, for folks, in my new book published in chapter 21, I talk about relaunches, and that seems very applicable here. And I think it's something that not many students do, but then not many people do in general. I think it's one of the best ways that you can spark book sales is to relaunch your book. So does that personal experience, has that kind of affected how you coach people on that? Do you find yourself coaching people through relaunches or going another round with their book, or how has that affected kind of how you coach?
Yeah, it definitely does. Cause it's just there's so much opportunity inside of the launch itself. And I think people discount their sphere of influence in that way too. We often forget how many people we know, and then simultaneously how many people that would love to support not only the book because of the book, but also like us because of us as a human. Yeah, yeah. and both of those things are equally as important when it comes down to launching a business, a product, a service, and a book, like all of the above. And so, yeah, it's just tapping into your people and just not only telling them that it's important to you and why their support is so important, but just on top of that, then focusing your attention on reminding them how important it is, because no one's going to take it as seriously as you. Yeah. And so it's just, yeah, keeping that mentality, which is a lot easier said than done sometimes, especially when the book has to run in parallel to life in that book launch for multiple weeks. Mm-hmm. But the nice thing is with a book launch, like you just have to do it one time. You don't have to launch a book every month to make money every month or to bring in new clients every month. I mean, everything else is easier once you do it well the first time. So, yeah.
Hey, Chandler Bolt here. I hope you're loving this episode so far. It's time to go from inspiration to implementation. All right, so if you've learned something, we want to help you implement what you've learned with your book. So what I want you to do right now is go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a publishing consultation with one of the experts on my team. We'll talk about your goals for your book, your dreams, your challenges, your next steps, and we'll start putting together a plan. All right, so go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a call with the team. Let's see how we can help with your book. It's time to implement. That's great. Let's talk about your personal experience in the trenches with authors and with aspiring authors. So starting in, obviously, first few years at SPS in a sales role and having 1 hour conversations with people who are about to start their journey or who are thinking about starting their journey. And 4,500 at least that we can track calls that you've had with folks at that point in the process. Big picture, biggest takeaways from those thousands of calls. And then very specifically, like, what was the number one thing that you saw keeping people from taking the leap to publishing their book?
Biggest things that I really like absorbed into me from all of those conversations over the years was how many amazing stories there are out there. Like it's fascinating some of the things that people have learned, that people have gone through, that like, you know, all of those people like 20, 30 years ago wouldn't even have had like a shot at publishing. But now here we are in 2022 and like self-publishing has completely democratized the publishing industry and given these people a shot. I think on top of that, the one caveat I would say to that is that, the biggest reason I think that people don't publish or that do ultimately is how often they've invested in themselves at all, just in general. Going back to the writing muscle, I think investing in yourself is a muscle in that way, whether it's investing in starting a business for yourself, you know, how often and how strong is your muscle of taking micro leaps of faith in that way? And I think that deciding to, whether it's, you know, hire an editor or invest in self-publishing school or whatever, it is a muscle to like kind of put your money where your mouth is and say, this is important enough to me to actually plant my flag in the ground monetarily. And I think that that's a powerful thing with the students we work with is, hey, like now you're in it, you've got the resources, you've got all of the people and the systems behind you to get this done. And for them internally, that feeling of like, okay, line in the sand, let's do this thing is a huge reason why I think, you know, I think we've grown the way we have. And also that we've seen the people publish, you know, ultimately to the numbers that we've seen. So I think it's huge.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, there's a saying, people who pay attention, right? Or where money goes, energy flows. So I think that's a really interesting thing that you're saying is almost, where if people have a track record of investing in themselves, or if people, if they're used to doing that sort of thing, and they believe that this book or that themselves is an investable, like that they should invest and they have invested, then that's almost a prerequisite for someone who's going to show up and say, hey, let's do this, and I'm committed to this book. That's a really, really interesting takeaway. What about maybe flip side, well, I guess it's kind of, you kind of already answered this a little bit, but I'm curious if you got any other thoughts or things that come to mind, is were there any commonalities of the most successful students who did commit to their book and found success with their book? If you were to look back and how they showed up on that first call or anything else that you would say, hey, these are some commonalities of kind of those best students and how that showed up on that sales call?
Yeah, great question. I think there's, with people that have done well, it's almost kind of ingrained in their personality, in like, they are going to, this is something that's important. It registers as important, and they will not find excuses. They're just going to find a way, right? So it's just like where they put their energy is a lot more, I guess it's just, it goes back to like abundance mindset versus scarcity mindset, growth mindset, all that kind of stuff. Like they know that it's going to happen. It's just a question of the how, not the if. And so when people show up with that kind of a mindset on clarity calls, then all of a sudden they come in with a very like solutions oriented, like, okay, these are things I'm struggling with. Can you help me with them? And just having that type of intentionality, and whether they need help with the mindset or help with the skill set, I think just having that like base layer of self-awareness to go, these are what I'm struggling with. I know that I'm here because I need the help. I need help with A, B, C, D, rather than just kind of rudderlessly kind of floating through the process and having to, kind of pull people across the finish line, rather than having that intentionality to ask the questions you need, because you're just leaning in enough to know you need them. So that's something that I've seen consistently mindset wise, across genres, across, different walks of life, like that mindset of like, just using us as a catalyst for what they already have versus like the end all be all solution to fill a hole. If that makes sense. So
yeah, that makes sense. There's an intentionality, there's an openness, there's a just an intentionality behind that. I think that makes a lot of sense. Now let's fast forward to the coaching process. So 2,200 coaching calls with our students, with aspiring authors, with existing authors, with people who want to write their first book, with people who are trying to scale their businesses, with people who are selling more books, like a depth of experience there. What would you say is, based on all those calls, is the number one challenge that most people face throughout the process? So if we're talking about, and maybe we'll just shrink this down to like blank page to published, obviously you do a lot of help with people beyond that, but if we're talking about the blank page to publish process, what's the biggest challenge that you see your students facing?
It's interesting, because it's, I sometimes make the joke with students, like, because publishing a book is like a slow burn, it's definitely a marathon of a project. Oftentimes the challenge is, I always kind of preface on clarity calls, especially, there's going to be one part of this process that completely sucks, for you. And that could be like, people breeze through the writing. They get the writing done. They love it. They're in it. They're excited about this process. And then as soon as they hit cover design, they get bogged down in the weeds. They find themselves procrastinating, or they find themselves not with that type of energy that they had in the writing. But sometimes it's the exact opposite. Sometimes people will have just a slog of a time trying to get through their draft, and then they hit the production or the launch and they're so excited. And they're like, oh yeah, this is my jam. And so often it's not necessarily one kind of broad strokes, like this is where people get hung up. I just tell people, like, it's not an if, it's kind of a when. Like, what part of this process are you going to hit that's going to suck? It's not going to all be awful, and it's not going to all be awesome. And so just having that type of mentality and framing it up that way, I think initially helps people go, okay, like, this is easy. Maybe there's going to be some things I don't like quite as much in the marketing, or in, the editing process, or getting that initial feedback from covers, or asking for support on a launch team. Like, everyone's got their own strengths and weaknesses. And I think that definitely shows up in the book writing process. And I don't know, I think that kind of writing a book has got all of these other benefits that are obvious. I think because of that, one of the amazing benefits of writing a book is you just get to know yourself better. Like, wow, mm-hmm. I didn't know that I loved writing so much, or I didn't know that I just am kind of magnetically repelled away from asking for people for help, like whatever it is, you know, it's fascinating. So,
yeah. Well, that's so great, Brett. And I want to focus in on the front part of the process. Obviously, we teach a process that has 8 milestones. That's our way of saying kind of checkpoints on the journey, right? For those who have read published, or for those who are already in self-publishing school, you're familiar with these milestones. And the first 4 of these milestones is what we call the MOR writing method. So you've got mind map, outline, rough draft, editing, right? MORE, MOR writing method. So I think a lot, what we've seen, Brett, and what I'm sure you've probably seen as well, is that this rough draft, it's the 3rd milestone, but it's one of the biggest and hardest ones in this whole journey, right? You got mind map, you got outline, both of those can be done in an hour or a couple hours, maybe a few hours at max. And then you've got this quantum leap to rough draft. And then you've got self-editing, which is really tough. And so kind of like these middle 3 are really tough. And then the exterior ones, you can, can move a little bit faster. So if we zoom in on that rough draft piece, what do you see as the commonalities, the things that keep your students from getting started with their book, or that keep them from getting their rough draft finished? And what can people do about it?
Yeah, the draft, I think, hangs people up because they forget who they're talking to, or they don't know who they're talking to. So, you know, in our world, and this would be like, who is your ideal reader? Who's your avatar? Who's that one person that, you know, ideally, if the goal was to change somebody's life through the book, who would be that one person that you would just sit down with on a couch for an afternoon to change their life if you had to pick one person? Low hanging fruit, who'd be the easiest to impact that way? Let's just focus on them first. Not that it's not going to give value to other people. They're eavesdropping on that conversation, getting value, but it's like books are kind of a scalable, intimate conversation that way. And I think the more focused you can be on that one person, the more impactful and empathetic and real the book value will be for others in that way. So oftentimes the focusing of that can be a challenge sometimes for people. And so once we get there, then it's a question of, okay, now let's try and give them as much value as possible. And then that's where the outline kicks in. That is often just getting really detailed. I think a lot of times people get hung up on the draft because their outline is very broad strokes and it's kind of general and not detailed enough. And then they're like, okay, this is the topic for the chapter, but it's just super open-ended. It can go 1,000 different directions. And that's just like a masterclass in paralysis by analysis. Once you're there in the moment trying to actually do the writing, because your brain is just going 1,000 different ways. And obviously our brains aren't wired for that. You know, we just need to focus on one thing. So I think to help remedy that is just getting a really detailed outline, the exact stories, the exact things we're teaching, the exact next steps, like just getting really, really granular with that will help inform a quicker draft, because then you can just go, okay, this is the thing. I know what that means. And then you can just go and kind of blossom in the details that way, which speeds up the writing. And then people can kind of test and see, okay, am I speaking the book? Am I writing the book? You know, figuring out what method to actually fill in those details is going to be best is right after that then. So that's often the hangups, mostly with the draft for sure.
That's so great. So better outlines mean better books, mean faster written books. And it's so easy as someone who's, you know, talked to thousands of people and kind of similar to me, of thousands of students over the years, thousands of webinars, you can feel like, oh yeah, mind map outline. We talk about that all the time. You probably did that. But I can't tell you how many times I'll talk to a student that's stuck in their writing. It's like, oh, we'll just go back to your outline. It's like, well, you see, I didn't really fully do that. I just kind of skipped to the writing. It's like, what in the world? All right, well, go back here, like go back and slow down to speed up and focus on your outline again and make it better, and then dive back into writing, and your writing is going to be easier. So if you're a student right now and you're listening to this, or you're just an aspiring author going through this process, don't skip the mind map and the outline. I've got entire chapters dedicated to this in the new book. And we've got a ton of curriculum in the course, obviously, that goes through this. So don't skip those 2 pieces. Totally. Brett, if we were to think about your most successful students of all time, what are the two or three common traits that those students have? And so if I'm, you know, just joining self-publishing school, or if I'm wanting to be successful with my book, what are those kind of traits that I can emulate throughout the process?
That's a good question. I would say they have a mission greater than the book itself. It's like the book serves something other than just the book for the book's sake, you know, whether it's making sales or, you know, opening up doors. It's like, what is the greater purpose? It like beyond the book, in front of the book, and the book is just a vehicle to that. They definitely have that. I think they're tenacious as all get out. Like, you know, they will find a way in that way. And just because of the mission and working on, in this case, the book, like that's their thing. It's like, they know the why very deeply. And I think also the most successful students I've seen are just very like open to getting questions answered. They know the gaps that they have. They know their strengths. They know the things they need help with. They're not trying to become something they're not. They will really double down on their strengths and go like, this is the stuff that's like my native genius, my mastery. And these are the things that I'm going to, you know, hire out. And whether that is, I know I'm not an artist, so I'm going to hire a cover designer, or I know that I don't like the in the weeds stuff, I'm going to hire an executive assistant, or whatever the case, like they're very aware of that. And they're okay staying in their lane and then just delegating the rest in order to serve the mission. Mm. So I think that it's probably a combination of those two things for sure.
That's so great. They've got a mission greater than the book itself. They're tenacious. They're going to find a way and implement. They're not afraid to delegate. Now, flip side, and I know this is less fun to talk about, but what are the two or three common traits of our least successful students? So if I'm listening to this and I'm saying, hey, well, I want to be successful with this book, what are the things that I need to avoid, or maybe the traits or traps that I need to keep from falling into?
I think a big one is people get hung up on imposter syndrome a lot with this book. And I think, you know, because of the natural fact that, you know, if you want to be a player in this arena as an author, generally we're a great spectator. We read a lot of books in that way. And so I think the side effect of that is we just end up doing a lot of comparing of like, okay, like everything's been written already, you know, get that one a lot, or, you know, oh, what do I have to say? So ultimately I think that unless you can get out of your own way that way, it's going to be very challenging to finish the book. And then on top of that, or paired with that, perfectionism on top of that. It's just like, not only do I'm not sure about my own value, but then I have myself to a very, very high standard. If you pair those things together, very rare will somebody complete a book, just because it's too long of a process. You can't bang this out in an afternoon. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't go from like, I'm going to write a book and then have a bestseller on Amazon in, you know, a day. And so at the end of the day, it's like, we need to get out of the way of ourselves with imposter syndrome and perfectionism, because by a landslide, those are the big things that will hang people up.
Mm, that's great. This is really helpful. So, Brett, let's imagine I'm a student. Maybe I just signed up for the program, and maybe I'm even being coached by you throughout this process. I'm watching this or listening to this in preparation of our first call together. We call this a clarity call. And the fiction side of the business, we call this a plot call. It's all about getting clear about who you're writing to, what you're writing, some timeline, stuff like that. What do I need to do to prepare to get the most out of that first call with you?
Biggest thing to prepare is having a really a good sense of who your avatar is. I think the more specific we can be on who we're really having this conversation with, it's going to make everything easier with our conversation, because then we can get into figuring out the outline, making sure that we can create a writing plan that makes sense for your schedule, like just really going beyond that and creating some really good next steps that are achievable for you in your world in that way. So definitely avatar, that makes a big difference. And I think ultimately figuring out, you know, more like definition of success, like what success means for the book. I think that that's big. And that could be, you know, things like I want to sell this many copies or reviews or, you know, doing that, but also just like, what is the why? What is the mission? I think ultimately really, really, really getting clear on the broader mission. That helps me just see things at a little more bird's eye view level and just lets me into your world in that way more. So those are really the two big ones. And then from there, you know, we can split off into a thousand different directions depending on, you know, what someone needs. But yeah, avatar and the greater definition of success or mission.
Love it. And then how can I make sure that I'm as coachable as possible and I get I maximize my coaching experience if I have you as my coach?
Yeah, I thrive in strategy and problem solving in that way. Oftentimes people that get the most out of working with me just come to me with those problems of like, okay, these are the things I'm getting hung up with. I'm struggling with this internally. I'm struggling with this externally. Can we just kind of workshop that? And I'm happy to be their thought partner, trying to unpack that and figure out a way forward. So that's how I am definitely the most effective and how people can, you know, steam forward ahead working with me for sure.
Cool. Awesome. Well, guys, if you're interested in getting some feedback on your book idea, chatting with the self-publishing school team, and if you decide to join, maybe even having Brett as your coach, go to self-publishingschool.com/apply, book a call with the team. We can't guarantee that you'll have Brett as your coach. He's a popular guy, stays pretty booked up. But maybe if you think it's a fit, that's the best next place to go to get more help with your book. So Brett, final question or two, knowing what you know now from your personal experience as an author, from 4,500 really strategy calls, I mean, quote unquote sales calls, but they're really consultative kind of planning sessions, from those and then from 2,200 coaching calls with students, what's your parting piece of advice for the Brett from a couple years ago or all the other Bretts who are thinking about writing and publishing their first book?
Yeah, I'd tell past Brett to give himself a little bit of grace, like just start with the micro bite-sized stuff, and then that will build up into an amazing book rather than trying to create this perfectly airtight, beautiful thing the first time. Because that's like, to me, that was a losing battle initially. And so I could have made a lot more progress forward. So all of the Bretts out there, yeah, definitely just start bite-sized and that will scale up over time. And then as you need help, you know, we're here. There's a lot of resources that are available for you to keep the wheels turning. But start small and, you know, leave your perfectionism at the door.
Nice. That's great. Brett, this has been awesome, man. Where can people go to buy your book?
Yep. Founder Fundamentals. I'm the only Brett Hilker on Amazon. So that's pretty awesome. So feel free to grab that. And then bretthilker.com as well.
Cool. Well, guys, check out the book, Founder Fundamentals. And if you're interested in getting our help at Self Publishing School with your book, like I said, that first call is very much consultative to see about your goals for your book, your challenges with your book, your next steps, and if we can help. Okay. So if that's something that you're interested in, head on over to self-publishingschool.com/apply. Book a call with the team. As Brett said, leave your procrastination at the door. Stop thinking about this book and start being about it and start doing about it and book a call with the team. We'd love to help you get started. Brett, you're the man. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Talk soon.
Thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode of the Self-Publishing School Podcast. I know there's so many places that you could be spending your time. There's other podcasts that you could be listening to, YouTube channels that you could be watching. So thank you so much. It means the world. Now, I want you to do three things right now if you found this episode helpful. All right, number one, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a YouTube channel. It's a companion channel to this podcast. All the video versions of the episode are on the YouTube channel. So number one, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Number two, if you're listening to this podcast wherever, whether this is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, number two, I want you to subscribe to this podcast right now so you don't miss a future episode. And then number three, this is probably the most important, leave a review on the podcast. All right. Reviews are super important and help the podcast get discovered by other people. So number three, leave a review on the podcast. Thank you so much. I'll see you in the next episode. If you're on the fence about scheduling a publishing consultation call with my team, maybe you're not quite ready for that, I've got some free training that I think will be really helpful for you. All right, all you have to do is go to register to sign up. Go to selfpublishing.com/free training. When you do, you're also going to get a free digital copy of my new book, Published. And on that training, you're going to learn the next step, so how to implement with your book. So how to write, how to publish, how to launch successfully. So go to register right now at selfpublishing.com/free training. I'll see you there.